from high above all other primitive mutant forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another tantalizing episode of Cowboy State Politics. Today, we're going to do a couple of things. First, we're going to answer the question that I asked you on Monday. And then we're going to visit with a local Buffalo business owner whose livelihood is going to be directly impacted by this bond proposal should it pass. That's one thing a lot of people don't ever talk about. You know, they want to pass taxes, and yet they never talk to the business owners that are going to have to collect that tax. Nor do they ask the question of how that tax is going to affect said business. Seems like an important topic to cover to me, and so we will. But first, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you don't know anything, well, then you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself. At this point, just about everybody within the sound of my voice has heard about the very troubling drunk driving charges that Johnson County Commission Chairman Bill Novotny is facing. I knew about them early Sunday afternoon. So instead of breaking the story as I could have, I waited for all of the news outlets to pick it up before me. And I did that because I wanted you to have time to think about the question that I asked you. Because this is a very serious situation, not just the seriousness of the charges, but serious in the sense of how we deal with public officials. How much rope do we give them? I mean, what sort of power do they have over us? And what is the true nature of government and government power? Those are all questions that are revolving around this situation. Let's begin with the question that I asked you on Monday. We begin with a question, a serious question, about how you respond to the little swamp and how the little swamp is supposed to react to you. So what would you think about a leader who thought so little of his constituency that he placed the rest of us in grave peril? What would you think if that same leader made such poor personal decisions that he endangered the very people that he took an oath to protect? What would you think if he flaunted the law he was sworn to uphold and defend? If actions truly speak louder than words, then we have a grave problem on our hands, my friends. A serious discussion is warranted about this inhabitant of the little swamp to which I refer, but I want you to think about it, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. Late Sunday evening, sources for Cowboy State Politics confirmed the charges against Johnson County Commission Chairman Bill Novotny, driving under the influence, reckless driving, eluding a police officer, and open container. But there really ought to have been one more charge, the most serious charge of all, the one that always applies in this case, a complete disregard for his constituency, and in this case, for the lives of his constituents. When people have responsibilities, generally speaking, they alter their behavior to fall in line with those responsibilities. There are certain things that parents don't do because they have children. There are certain things that employees don't do because they like being employed. And there ought to be certain things that politicians don't do because they're elected representatives of the citizenry. Set aside for a moment that Bill Novotny is the second most powerful politician in Johnson County, and let's just talk about his actions as a citizen. Well, we always consider that drunk driving under the influence is a serious matter. That's why it carries a serious penalty. That's why you go to jail for it. You know, a lot of moving violations when you're driving a car, you don't spend the night in jail. You do when you're drunk driving. Secondly, reckless driving. That should have been reckless endangerment. See, Bill was traveling on the wrong side of the interstate from at least Lake DeSmet past Buffalo. That's a long ways, and there could have been any number of people that he killed head-on. Thank God that that didn't happen and that we're not dealing with the funeral of a young family. But that is the seriousness of his act. And think about the sheriff's deputy that finally got Bill Novotny to pull his car over, Randy Brown. What incredible actions he took that night to safeguard citizens of Johnson County. He did the very thing that Bill Novotny was not doing. So any one of us that did the very thing that Bill Novotny did would be very worried about losing our job, would be very worried about going to jail, and we'd be facing a serious penalty and a significant amount of probation time. That's how serious that offense was. And like I said, thank God that nobody got hurt. So as a citizen, there was a criminal lapse of judgment. As a citizen, Bill Novotny showed a complete disregard for his own life, a complete disregard for every other person on the road, a complete disregard for the feelings of his family, and a complete disregard for everything that was right that night. So add in that Bill Novotny is an elected public official and that he represents all 8,500 people that live in Johnson County. If he respected those 8,500 people, Bill Novotny would have made arrangements ahead of time to get a ride if he went out drinking and not drive his car, as he tells every single one of his constituents to do. Every proclamation that he signs against drunk driving, every funding request from the Sheriff's Department to prosecute drunk driving, all of that. So what he should have done is made arrangements ahead of time to get a ride. He should have respected us enough to make arrangements ahead of time. But instead, he went out drinking, he got in his car, and he attempted to drive home. Those are all personal choices, and that shows you how much respect he has for his voters, that he didn't think enough ahead of time, he didn't respect us enough ahead of time to make arrangements so that he didn't have to get in his car and drive drunk all the way home to Buffalo, which, by the way, if you're drinking, you never have to do. Call somebody and get a ride. If Bill Novotny is going to make such horrendous choices, which, by the way, when you're in a position like his, very few of the choices you make only affect you. They always affect your constituents. So if you're going to make such terrible choices in your personal life, you cannot be trusted to make any choices for the people that have elected you to the office of which you hold. You're not qualified to make those choices any longer. It is his judgment that is in question here. Monday, after he got out of jail, he went to the Johnson County Commissioners meeting and voted on county matters, our budget, as if nothing ever happened. Probably the reason he did that is news of his epic lapse in judgment had not hit the newspapers yet, so he wouldn't have got caught going to the county commissioners meeting. This is yet another example of Bill Novotny's lapse in judgment. Why give somebody like me the opportunity to criticize his actions on Monday? Actions speak louder than words. And if his actions on Sunday morning were not enough, that is, getting blasted drunk, driving on the wrong side of the interstate on the way home, eluding a police officer, putting a whole bunch of people's lives in danger, and then finally pulling over, if those actions don't speak loud enough, what he did Monday morning speaks even louder. He attended a Johnson County Commission meeting as if nothing ever happened, giving people like me an ability to criticize him. And the only reason he would do that is if it didn't matter to him. How Bill's choices affect him personally is hard to say in the end. Hopefully he gets prosecuted, just like every other citizen would, because after all, he is no different than any one of us. He just happens to be elected by us. And speaking of that, that's a situation that all of us need to rectify just as soon as possible. We need to make it very clear to the Johnson County commissioners that Bill Novotny's judgment and choices do not represent Johnson County any longer, nor can they, nor can we rely on anything that Bill says going forward, because clearly he doesn't value us enough not to do them. The conversation's not over about this in Johnson County. We're going to be dealing with this for quite some time, but I hope that citizens of Johnson County deal with this more swiftly rather than later. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is that Bill Novotny needs our help. Bill clearly has problems with addiction. Normal people do not get blackout drunk and get in a car and drive on the wrong side of the interstate. Normal people don't do that. People who have problems with addiction do those sorts of things, and that's clearly the case here. So we need to help Bill with his addiction problem. We're a community. That's what we do. But Bill needs to leave the Johnson County Commission to us, because clearly we can't trust his judgment anymore. We need to help him with his addiction problems. He needs to leave the Johnson County Commission to us and step down. That's the only respectable way to do this. We'll help him with his addiction problems, and we'll handle our county government. Okay, moving on. Next on our list, ludicrous liberal attempts at taxation, Volume 3. Now, if this whole Johnson County bond proposal is such a fantastic plan, if it's such a good plan, then why does $19.57 million of taxpayer investment into the YMCA result in $100,000 a year of increased operating deficits? Shouldn't a $19.57 million investment in the YMCA actually result in favorable variances in the YMCA operating budget rather than increased negative variances? Well, not if you use government math, no. Because government doesn't create new revenue, it only consumes it, it doesn't make sense to the people running the government that maybe they should turn a profit and not increase deficits. That doesn't even compute. The second problem we have is how taxation affects people. You see, the tax proponents of this thing assume that taxes are static. And what I mean by that is that only the taxes that citizens directly pay are the ones that they're worried about. Well, everybody else in the world knows that that's not true, that we're affected by taxes along a continuum, so that it's not just the taxes we directly pay at the point of sale. We pay those taxes across the board. And if you listen to this next clip, you can hear Rick Myers explain that very thing, and then ignore it. He talks about a whole bunch of different categories where we pay this sales tax, and then he goes on to say that no, it's just the tax you pay at the point of sale. This points out the fundamental contradiction in their plan, that their taxes are not static and that we will continue to pay them. That's yet one of the biggest reasons why you should vote against this tax proposal. But here's Rick Myers.
So the 60-40 split, and this comes from the Department of Revenue, the way sales tax is actually collected. We only think about sales tax being when we go downtown and buy. The fact is that going up 27% of sales tax is actually collected through that way. It's collected through so many other avenues, through the construction side of it, through the oil and gas side of it. And there are 12 major categories of actually sales tax revenues that come in. And so the whole 60-40 split, it is correct when you break that down. And I'm happy to share this and go into as much detail as you want right now. But tourists do. I don't know if you can tell how much a tourist actually spends when they come in here. But you can, all of us can gauge how much we spend. That's the thing that's factual about this. Absolutely, you can tell. Do you spend $500 a month in retail items? And remember that groceries and medicine are not taxed.
And fuel.
Those are the major items that we spend. So do you go down to Sportswear and spend $500 a month, or Ace Hardware spend $500 a month? The answer is likely not. Once in a while you do that, or on Christmas you do that, but on average, the average person, based on average incomes in Buffalo, Wyoming, there isn't $500 of extra income to spend on retail items. And if you do spend $500 a month on retail items, that equates to $5 a month. That's the true impact on families. And so the rest of it then is collected through other avenues.
It blows my mind how in one breath he can say that taxes are not static and that they affect us across a continuum. And then in the very next breath, he says, we only pay about $5 a year. That's just not true. Think about the yard boy you hire to mow your lawn. If he has to go to O'Reilly's and buy a part for his lawnmower and pay that tax, he's going to pass that cost on to you. And it works the same with every other business. The contractor you hire, the mechanic that works on your car, that tax gets passed all the way through. So when these tax advocates tell you that, oh no, you're only paying this small amount of tax, that's not true at all. And you just heard Rick Myers explain it to you. Next up, I had a great conversation with Tucker Alger, who owns the Buffalo Athletic Club. We visited in his office yesterday, and it was a pretty good discussion about how he has not been approached about this whole tax proposal, even though the major recipient of this tax, the YMCA, will be his direct competitor. Here's my conversation with Tucker Alger. One more thing before we get to the interview. We have to understand that none of these tax proposals happen in a vacuum. There's a lot of people in Buffalo that make their living off of a private business. And when we're talking about increasing taxes, it directly affects the people's lives that own those businesses. And we can't lose sight of that. So in my conversation with Tucker, you're going to get a feeling of how personal this is to him and his family. We'll get to our interview with Tucker Alger here in just a second, but first we need to discuss something that tax advocates really don't have an understanding of: profit. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you in large part by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for any type of building, be it an outbuilding or a garage or a giant roping arena or something to park that giant motorhome in or all those four-wheelers that you're using on the summer, or you see, the list goes on. Morton Buildings can build you just about anything you need. All you have to do is call Nick or Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. You just tell them what you're up to and they'll handle all the details. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they certainly do it better than anyone else around. So give them a call at 307-674-2532 or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com and tell them David sent you. Our newest sponsor is Wing It Food Truck. It's a small business based out of Thermopolis, Wyoming. Yeah, it's a food truck, and they sell awesome chicken wings. And what they do is they just travel around the state and show up for a couple days in your community and feed you some good wings, and then they move on. And on Cowboy State Politics, we're going to be telling you exactly where you can find the food truck and what their schedule is going to be. Now, as I mentioned in previous programs, they're still a week or two out from getting their new truck operational. But I want you to keep thinking about how awesome it would be to have some gourmet wings in your own community. So keep listening to Cowboy State Politics, and we'll keep you updated on the status of the food truck. It's really awesome, and I know that you're going to love it. So here he is. We're at the Buffalo Athletic Club in Buffalo, Wyoming. Tucker, welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
The reason I wanted you to come on is, and right now we've got this big, huge tax and spend scheme they're trying to push on us, which would be in direct competition with your business.
Yep.
So what I'd like to do today, Tucker, is just talk about your business and get your feelings on this bond proposal and just have a conversation. So my first question, have any of the proponents of this tax proposal talked to you?
They have not. I have not heard. I've seen it on Facebook, in the paper. I've heard, you know, people around town small talk about it, but I haven't had anybody, you know, directly come and talk to me or
so
ask.
No, not a single one of these people has darkened your door.
Nope.
To ask your opinion.
Nope.
Wow. All right. Well, that being said, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your business? When you started, how long you've been in business? Just tell us about it.
So I'm a 24-hour facility. So it works for everybody's time, you know, and I try to make that happen because in our neck of the woods, I guess, you know, we have coal resources, methane resources, all that stuff, a swing shift for the most part. So I wanted to have a facility where people could come in on their own time and not have to, you know, move it to their schedules, and they can come in and key card access, get in whenever you want. I've been in business for 6 or 7 years now. It's a pretty dang good thing for me and my family, you know, it provides for us, and that's one of the reasons where I'm against this bond, I guess, for that aspect. No, there's other reasons also, but it's going to hinder my business, I guess, directly because I can't compete with a $19 million facility when I'm just one guy trying to make it work around town for me here and just using my own money and my great customer and clients' money that they give me each month. I really appreciate them too, but yeah, it's just not.
Well, let's kind of explore how you started your business a little bit.
Yep.
So you said you've been in business for like 6 or 7 years.
Yep.
How'd you get started, and how much of your own personal money did you put into your gym?
So when I first got started, it was already in town here, but it was only for a couple of years, and my buddy had it. And so when I purchased it, I was putting in all my money from my daytime jobs, and I've always had a daytime job just until recently, but I was putting all my money into it, and then some, you know. And the first couple of years, they always say business is pretty rough the first few years, and it ain't no lie. I mean, you know, it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into it to make it to where it is now. And I'm you know, pretty happy with how it is. I mean, there's always things that you want and need, but, I mean, in a perfect world, we'd have all the special equipment.
So, Tucker, if you could put... I know it's hard with a small business to determine exactly how much of your own money you put into it. I know, you know, with my podcast, I would have a hard time telling you what I've spent.
Yep.
But it's, I mean, it's nothing compared to your gigantic gym that we're sitting in here today. But if you could put a dollar number on it, how much would you say that you've got invested here?
Oh, shoot. I don't even know where to start.
Is it a million?
It's not that high. But I mean,
half a million?
I'd say quarter million, you know.
Okay, so $250,000.
Yep.
So, Tucker, if I were to come to you and say, I've got a couple million dollars of taxpayer money, what could you do with a couple million dollars?
Holy smokes, I could have the most, you know, the best facility that anybody could ask for, I guess. I mean, I've been in this for a couple of years, you know, and I know the ins and outs, and when I travel around and I look at other gyms and kind of see what would be a good attribute to what we got here. And I mean, if I had even a million, I could have a fantastic establishment, you know, and all my clients would be just plumb happy, you know. I mean, that's just $1 million is a lot of money, don't get me wrong.
It's a ton of money.
Yeah, it's, I mean, especially in these times with the, you know, cost of living going up and everything. I mean, it's a ton of money, but it doesn't go as far as it used to. I mean, you know what I mean? So.
Well, I don't know. $1 million is a ton. And here we're talking about spending almost $20 million at the YMCA. I mean, rough numbers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we're talking about spending a tremendous amount of money in town, and they haven't even spoken with one of the businesses that they're going to directly compete with.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that a little bit. What are your rates? What do you charge for a membership here?
So month to month for a single adult is $45 per month, and that's 24-hour access.
That seems low.
$365, and I mean, I gotta compete. I gotta be compatible with all the other, you know. I mean, the YMCA, and that's I think they're around the same price rate. And I have my family plans to four people, and it's a year contract, but it's $50 a month. But you can have up to four people on that if they live in the same household. And that's, I mean, pretty dang reasonable, I think.
So what's the going rate for a 24-hour access gym, like, across the state, say in Casper?
I've seen, you know, when I traveled around, up to $65-$70 a month, and that's, I mean, pretty reasonable, I think, for, like, say 24/7, 365, if you got, you know, what I got down here. So.
Well, there's only four YMCAs in the state, and all of them charge about 30% more than our YMCA. So it's almost like the YMCA rates are artificially low.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting fact. If they raised their rates $5 a month, they would raise $100,000 a year. And we could reduce taxpayer subsidies to the YMCA to a really small amount. Because right now, their budget, almost half of their yearly budget, is tax dollars.
Yep.
And here we are dumping another 20 some odd million dollars into the YMCA, but it's in direct competition to you.
Yep.
And the sad thing is that nobody has asked you about it, asked your opinion, asked if you wanted any input on it. None of that.
Nope.
So is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Tucker? I mean, anything?
Well, I mean, I think I'd like the people to understand that they're nationally funded. So I think there's other routes that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to, you know, poop on the party here, but there's other routes that they can go with to get the money. I mean, as being a small business owner, I'm the only one that can make this work. And that's where it puts a lot of stress on me. But they have other, you know, venues they could go down and they could get money in other ways, being nationally funded. And so I think there is ways that they can do this without having to take more taxpayer dollars. When we're in times that are kind of uneasy as of now, as is, with the fuel rates through the roof, building prices through the roof, I mean, it's hard for the everyday family to survive in these times as is. So I think that they could look at other options, because I mean, in my opinion, it's just, that's what you do in business, is you look at every option that you have and try to decipher and figure out what the best one is.
Well, the truth is, and I've asked them personally what their fundraising efforts have looked like, if they've sought outside money.
Yeah.
I haven't got a straight answer out of them. In fact, pretty much they just stopped answering any questions. But when you're asked directly, show me the efforts that you've taken to get private money to fund this enterprise, and they tell you, well, we fundraise all the time, and they obfuscate. The translation is, they haven't tried it. And the truth is, with this bond proposal, there are multiple different ways that we could do what they want to do, and they haven't explored them. So let's talk about the bond proposal generally.
Yep.
Would you agree with me, Tucker, that we've got to do something with Bomber Mountain?
Yeah, I 100% would agree.
I mean, it's we either got to tear it down, or we got to sell it, or we got to do something.
Yep.
What about buildings at the fairgrounds? You think we need to work on those?
Yeah, and I'm on board 100% with that stuff, you know.
So why shouldn't, in your opinion, why shouldn't we vote for this bond issue then?
It's bigger than that. I agree. See, and that's the thing, that we need to all be on a happy medium and, you know, a level playing field that way, because there's things that I will not use, you know, like the YMCA, I don't use it. Maybe I go there once a year if somebody has a birthday, one of my kids' friends have a birthday or something, I'll go there for that. But I'm not using anything in their facilities. The golf course, great attribute to Buffalo, but I personally don't use it. I've never been a good golfer, I guess. I'm not, you know, the best golfer, so I don't use it. So, I mean, I agree with the roads, the fairgrounds, certain things in the bill. But I think a large amount of that money is shuffled towards things that I'm not going to use. And people in KC, I mean, that's part of Johnson County. That's their tax dollars, and they're not going to be driving up. And maybe some of them might. I can't answer, and that's, you know, that's my thing. But they're not going to be driving up every day to use these facilities, and it's not going to benefit them in the way it, you know, they're proposing it and pitching it. So for the fairgrounds, 100% agree with, because, I mean, that's a good portion of this town. I mean, rodeos and you know, they're already cutting stuff and schools for the rodeo stuff, deals, and, you know,
right, it's
like
important,
that.
But, it's important for the community. We could agree on that.
Yeah, and so I do agree with certain things, but I guess from the way I see it, it's not built to where it should be, and I'm no business major or anything, but...
Well, as a businessman, you know, you wouldn't take the... you know, the 10 things that you want to do with your business and tackle them all at once.
No,
you couldn't.
No, you
do
couldn't.
That.
There's no way. Yeah.
You wouldn't have the money, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
But the reason government thinks that they can do that is because they can rely on tax dollars. They can force people to pay. See, private people can't do that.
No.
And while, like I agree with you that we need to do something with Bomber Mountain, I kind of agree with the with fairgrounds. I think that we could vote on all of these things individually. And we could probably get agreement in town. But instead, they've slammed them all together into this one big thing. Their thinking is that, well, there's something in it for everybody, so they'll vote for it. Well, that's not ethical. That's called buying votes, is what that is. And you can't, as a private businessman, you don't get that opportunity to do that. Anything else you'd like to talk about, Tucker?
No, I think we hit... all the points. I think we're going to have a meeting, aren't we, on the 28th?
Yep, on July 28th, we'll have a meeting at Bomber Mountain Civic Center. Everybody, we want all Johnson County residents to come. Tucker's going to be there talking with the crowd and just talking about his business and what impacts this bond proposal will have on him. So we invite everybody there on the 28th of July. Everything's going to start at 6 o'clock, so... pay attention. We're going to have a ton of information as to why you shouldn't vote for this thing.
Yeah. And I sure appreciate your time today, Dave.
No problem. I do have one more question for you.
Yeah.
Later on in this episode, I'm going to be talking about all the charges against Commissioner Bill Novotny. You're a family man. You're a business owner. You grew up in town.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on all these drunk driving charges?
I mean, I can't be a devil's advocate, because I've had a DUI before. I don't agree with it, you know, I mean, and in my opinion, everybody makes mistakes, but there could be, we're just lucky that nobody got hurt in this incident. It's still new news to everybody, and I'm not sure if everybody heard about it yet, but all I can say is we got to hold everybody accountable, because if it was me or you, we'd be in the same boat, and we'd have a whole bunch of people mad.
Yep.
And I think that like I say, as a person, Dave, I know Dave is, a, or not Dave, sorry, Bill is a person, and I've always got along with him. But when you get, when you're putting politics, when you're being in that statute, I mean, you gotta be a little more professional, I guess, in that way. And that's why I would never run for be a politician, because I am the way I am, and I don't, you know, but no, I don't agree with it necessarily. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you that, I just think we're damn lucky that, you know, we don't have a dead family.
Yep.
That was going the correct way on the interstate that night. Mm-hmm. I think we're very, very lucky, and we should all be very thankful for that.
Yep.
However, that being said, he's a public official, and, you know, he needs to hold himself to a higher standard. And the truth is, as voters, we need to make sure he is held to that standard. But anyway, Tucker, I appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to our conversation on the 28th.
Yep, appreciate you.
So there you have it. Tax advocates pushing this bond proposal did not visit with Tucker Alger as to the impacts this sales tax would have on his business. So we're only left to assume that there are more business owners that these tax advocates also did not visit with. But secondly, it speaks to their utter misunderstanding of how taxes work. The more taxes you impose on people, the less money they spend. And I know that Rick Myers and the Citizens for the Future of JOCA, or whatever they're calling their PAC, claim that sales tax has no impact on spending. Well, that's just not true. You should ask yourself, when is the last time you drove to Billings to go shopping? You see, Montana doesn't have a state sales tax, which is why many people go up there shopping. So to claim that this sales tax isn't going to have any effect on private business is just flat not true. And here's another perspective. Sales tax always affects the people who can least afford it the most. Think about when you go to the restaurant and you're handed the receipt from your credit card, and you look down at the bottom of it to where you would add the tip. Well, the first thing you see is the amount of taxes that you pay. And statistically, when people see higher taxes in an establishment like a restaurant, they tend to tip less, which means that the people that are serving the food to them make less money. This is not rocket science, guys, and yet the people that are pushing this tax proposal don't talk to businesses who, by the way, will be assessing the tax, and second, pay no attention to the folks that are going to be affected the most by these taxes. But such is the nature of just about every other liberal tax and spend scheme. Tax advocates always claim that their project is for the greater good of the community. Well, if that were true, the most generous people among us, conservatives, would be the first ones to contribute to their campaign. It's interesting that they really haven't made an attempt to raise the capital that they want to spend. You need to ask yourself why. And we will continue to ask all of those questions. We're going to continue to be unafraid, unabashed, and 100% unyielding in our defense of free market principles that avoid taxing regular citizens. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.